Hello, and welcome to Oxtalk for Tuesday, the 15th of April 2025. My name is Guy, and I've compiled the edition for this week. News items have been selected from local Oxford papers by Margaret Simpson and Ralph Weirs, and recorded at home by Janet Proudman and Ralph Weirs. The USBs have been copied and distributed by Michelle Lawful. Sunrise today is at 6:08 a.m. and sunset is at 8:02 p.m. Before the news, we mark some events which happened on April the 15th in history. In 1493, Christopher Columbus was received by the Spanish monarchs Isabella I and Ferdinand II in Barcelona on his return from the New World. Columbus presented kidnapped indigenous people, plants, and items collected from the Caribbean. In 1755, Samuel Johnson's A Dictionary of the English Language was published in London. Johnson was contracted to write the dictionary for the sum of 1,500 guineas, equivalent to about £310,000 today. It took him 7 years to single-handedly complete the work, although he had claimed he could finish it in three. Johnson produced several revised editions of the dictionary during his lifetime. In 1793, the Bank of England issued the first £5 note. These earliest notes were handwritten and issued to individuals as needed. They were written on one side only and bore the name of the payee, the date, and the signature of the issuing cashier. In 1912, RMS Titanic sank at 2:27 a.m. off Newfoundland with the loss of around 1,500 lives. In 1955, Ray Kroc opened the first McDonald's franchise fast food restaurant in Des Plaines, Illinois. And in 2019, the Paris Cathedral Notre Dame caught fire, toppling its spire and destroying its roof. Births on this day. In 1452, Leonardo da Vinci, Italian polymath, was born in Vinci, a commune in Florence, Italy. His fame initially rested on his achievement as a painter, but he has also become known for his drawings and notes on a variety of subjects, including anatomy, architecture, astronomy, botany, cartography, engineering, and paleontology. Da Vinci is widely considered to have been a genius who epitomized the Renaissance humanist ideal. In 1894, Nikita Khrushchev was born in Kalinovka, Russia. He was first secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union from 1953 to 1964, and during his time in power he stunned the communist world with his denunciation of his predecessor, Joseph Stalin. Khrushchev sponsored the early Soviet space program and enacted many reforms in domestic policy. In 1964, the Kremlin circle stripped him of power, replacing him with Leonid Brezhnev. In 1990, Emma Watson, English actress most famous for portraying Hermione Granger in the Harry Potter series of films, was born in Paris, France. And deaths on this day. In 1053, Godwin, Earl of Wessex, died days after collapsing at a feast in Winchester, aged 52. He was a powerful Anglo-Saxon nobleman and father of King Harold II, who was killed at the Battle of Hastings. In 1764, Madame du Pompadour, French mistress of King Louis XV of France, died of tuberculosis, aged 42. In 1980, Jean-Paul Sartre, French existentialist philosopher and writer, died aged 74. And considered by many as greats of British comedy and comedic acting who died on this day were, in 1982, Arthur Lowe, probably most famous for playing Captain Mannering in Dad's Army, died at the age of 66. In 1984, Tommy Cooper collapsed and died on stage, aged 61. And in 1988, Kenneth Williams, most famous as a member of the cast of the Carry On series of films, died of an overdose at the age of 61. Now, on to the news. We hope you enjoy our selection of articles.
A scheme that helps people to become full homeowners is being supported by an Oxfordshire Housing Association. Platform Home Ownership is raising awareness of staircasing, which allows shared ownership buyers to gradually increase their share of the property until they own it outright. This comes after Platform experienced a 50% increase in inquiries from existing customers wanting to increase their equity. Shared ownership allows buyers to purchase a share of their home and pay rent on the remaining amount. This typically involves buying between 10% and 75% of the property's full market value. Staircasing allows buyers to reach full home ownership over a period of time that suits their financial needs by increasing this share, bringing down the rental payments at the same time. Platform said the scheme also helps to dispel the misconceptions that shared ownership is a permanent arrangement or not a viable route onto the property ladder. Laura Hathaway, staircasing and resales manager at Platform Home Ownership, said, "The surge in staircasing inquiries we've seen over the last 9 months is a reassuring demonstration that home ownership remains a great aspiration for our shared owners." Spring COVID booster vaccinations for the eligible cohorts began on the 1st of April and will end on the 17th of June. Those eligible for a vaccine are adults aged 75 years and over, residents in a care home for older adults, or anybody aged 6 months and over who is immunosuppressed. Please contact your surgery to book a vaccine if you haven't already been invited.
Students in Oxfordshire presented awards to global advocates for literacy at an international gathering in the city this week. Pupils for Charwell School presented awards at the summit from the World Literacy Summit, which was held at Oxford University buildings around the city. The biannual meeting of leading experts dedicated to improving reading, enfranchising children through education, has brought together specialists from over 85 countries. Charwell School sixth form students handed out accolades to a number of leaders in the sector, with the head of sixth form saying it was a phenomenal opportunity. Charlotte Richer, head of sixth form at Charwell School, said, "Partnering with the World Literacy Summit is a phenomenal opportunity for our sixth form students to listen with curiosity to inspirational leaders who are creating solutions to promote literacy to transform lives across the world. As students who love stories, collecting words, and who see the power of literacy and oracy to open up education, it's a topic so close to their own hearts. As Charwell changemakers and future leaders, we hope that the summit will inspire our students to lead with empathy, creativity and care to find imaginative ways to build a love of literacy in our own community, as well as the determination and ambition to carve out a wider impact in the world around them." The students got to hand out awards to recipients like James Bloom, recognised for his contribution to literacy by a youth for his Libraries for Literacy project, which built 5 libraries across South Africa in partnership with Breadline Africa. Also honoured was organisation Reading is Fundamental USA for distributing over 450 million books in its 58-year history, and Stanley KK awarded for his transformative literacy work in Papua New Guinea, including efforts to preserve local languages. The award recipient for contribution to literacy by a country was the Philippines, which has established over 300 literacy centres and expanded access to education across the nation. In addition to handing out awards, students got to enjoy speeches from keynote speakers and a performance from multi-award winning teacher turned rapper Jacob Mitchell, aka MC Grammar, On the third day of the summit, students enjoyed a speech from global entertainer Jelly Roll, a.k.a. Jason DeFord, who won the Global Literacy Award for his impact on education.
Quakers in Oxford held a silent vigil to show solidarity for six people arrested for planning protests. It follows a raid by Metropolitan Police on a Quaker house in Westminster, where six women from protest group Youth Demand were having a meeting on Thursday, March the 27th. After breaking down the door, about 20 uniformed police arrested the women on suspicion of conspiracy to cause a public nuisance, five of whom have been released on bail and one is facing no further action. In Oxford, about 40 people held a silent vigil at midday outside the Friends Meeting House in St Giles this week. They did it to show their solidarity. Hazel Dorr, one of the protesters, said, "The right to a peaceful protest is one of our human rights guaranteed by law. It should not be interfered with by either the police or the government." The vigil was organised to coincide with the one at Westminster and to give a local alternative to those unable or unwilling to go to London. The public were very supportive. We had smiles, waves, quiet hand claps and spoken thank yous, and a few people stopped and asked about the reason for the vigil. Two neighbourhood police officers did come by and talk to us, but only to check that we had not had any problems. Given the reaction of the public, I think that the vigil was worth doing. Dr. Hazel Dorr added that Quakers have a long tradition of peaceful protest, which ranges from supporting conscientious objectors to peaceful pickets outside arms fairs and spearheaded social movements like the abolition of slavery. Youth Demand are a protest group which plans actions on topics such as climate action and support for Palestine. The group had told The Guardian that it was planning to shut down London on a daily basis from the following week after a rally on Mallet Street in Bloomsbury. A Met Police spokesperson said, "Youth Demand have stated an intention to shut down London over the month of April, using tactics including swarming and roadblocks. While we absolutely recognise the importance of the right to protest, we have a responsibility to intervene to prevent activity that crosses the line from protest into serious disruption and other criminality." On Thursday, the 27th of March, officers raided a Youth Demand planning meeting at an address in Westminster, where those in attendance were plotting their April action. Six people were arrested on suspicion of conspiracy to cause a public nuisance. Five of those arrested on Thursday have been released on bail and one will face no further action. A further five arrests for the same offence were made on Friday, the 28th of March. Four of the arrests were made at locations in London and one in Exeter. All five of those arrested on the Friday have been released on bail. The proactive police activity took place on the basis of intelligence that those arrested were plotting serious disruption over the coming month, aiming to shut down London. A trainee solicitor at Knights, Oxford, is set to tackle the Marathon des Sables, known as the toughest foot race on earth. Catherine Prendergast, 26, will spend 7 days running a total of 250 kilometres across the Moroccan Sahara Desert. She will be joined by her brother Michael, 29, in the grueling challenge to raise money for the Elsie Normington Foundation. The charity provides respite to young adults with learning difficulties and complex special needs, including Catherine's younger brother, Andrew, 23, who has autism and Down syndrome. Catherine, who works in the commercial team at Knights in Oxford, will begin her journey to the desert on April 2nd for kit and medical checks. She will then line up on the start alongside around 1,000 competitors from across the globe on April 6th. The race will see Catherine run 250 kilometres across the desert in six stages, the longest being a mammoth 85.3 kilometres ultra-marathon running through the day and night. Ooh. The competitors will spend 9 days in the desert and will be completely self-sufficient, carrying a backpack containing everything to survive, including a sleeping bag, food and cooking equipment. Catherine said, "The real drive to be a finisher of the Marathon des Sables has been the motivation to raise money for the Elsie Norrington Foundation. Andrew currently spends one night a week at the Haven Centre run by this charity, and as much as he loves his time there, it also gives my parents a break from the 24/7 care he requires."
Grants of up to £20,000 are being offered by Chiltern Railways to groups that deliver social, economic and environmental benefits to communities across its network. The rail operator announced the launch of its Community Investment Fund earlier this week. The fund is designed to support initiatives that improve station environments for customers, encourage sustainable and accessible travel, and strengthen community relationships. Organisations can now apply for grants of at least £5,000 until May the 5th. Eligible applicants include charities, community interest companies, business improvement districts, community rail partnerships, and other not-for-profit groups. The fund builds on the successful delivery of 11 projects in 24-25, including gardening and artwork projects at High Wycombe Station and rail confidence visits for survivors of modern slavery and people trafficking across the West Midlands. Zach Bailey, Regional Group Manager at Chiltern Railway, said, "I am excited to announce that applications are now open for our 2025-26 Community Investment Fund. We were delighted by the quality of last year's projects, from working with community partners to deliver creative artwork installations at Banbury, Great Missenden and Oxford Parkway stations, and helping to build rail confidence among school children and those impacted by domestic abuse and modern slavery."
From Memory Lane, musicians took time off from a practice session at Oxford Town Hall to present a cheque for £450 to the special care baby unit at the John Radcliffe Hospital. The money was raised at a charity concert in 1989 by two groups of music lovers who were opposed to nuclear weapons. It was to be used to buy a new incubator for the unit. Vivian Parry received the cheque from Irene Stratton from the Medical Campaign Against Nuclear Weapons and Isabel Darras from the Oxford Musicians Against Nuclear Arms.
Mark Harris admits his goal return has been down on his own expectations this season, but keeping Oxford United in the Sky Bet Championship remains the ultimate aim. The 26-year-old striker has 6 goals and 3 assists in 40 championship appearances this season, a lower return on the 15 league goals he struck in United's promotion from League One last season. Harris has previous championship experience with Cardiff City, with whom he scored 9 times across 85 league matches, of which 48 came as a substitute. Harris said, "In the championship before, I'd be starting and then on the bench, maybe missing out, but this season I've really enjoyed it, playing most of the games. Leading the line, I think I've done all right. Obviously, the goals haven't been what I'd have hoped, but I think I give my all leading the line and I try to do my best. Hopefully now I can just chip in with a couple more towards the end of the season and just help the lads as much as I can." Harris added, "I don't think anyone has touched near 20 goals yet. I think as long as the team is winning and we've reached our goals, I'm happy with whatever."
A 2-day flower and music festival will take place later this spring. The Blooms and Tunes event will be held at Dunstew Church on May the 17th and 18th to raise funds for the church and for Catherine House Hospice. The hospice in Banbury provides specialist palliative care for adults with an incurable illness across North Oxfordshire and South Northamptonshire. It supports anyone over the age of 18 who has an advanced life-limiting illness. The care is delivered by a multi-professional team who consider patients' physical, emotional and social needs. The event will run from 10:30 in the morning to 4:30 p.m. Crews from Bicester Fire Station started the month by carrying out a range of training drills. The firefighters were split into two groups on the 1st of April, with one focusing on fire ground pumping and practicing knots and lines. The other group took an appliance to Jubilee Lake in Langford for open water pumping practice. They worked on priming the light portable pump, which involves removing air from the system to ensure a steady water flow from the main jet. The fire station said, "Thank you to the dog walkers and runners around the lake who kindly made space for us to carry out our drill." Located at Queen's Avenue, Bicester Fire Station is an on-call station.
Sir Keir Starmer has called for cool heads as global markets plunged in response to Donald Trump's sweeping tariffs, which includes impacts on Oxford-based BMW. The Prime Minister said the UK had to rise together as a nation in the face of a new era of global instability. President Trump announced that a 25% tariff would be levied on car imports, which began in the early hours of Thursday morning, while a blanket 10% tariff on UK goods came into effect on Saturday. This is expected to have an impact on BMW's plant in Cowley. Speaking at a Jaguar Land Rover plant in the West Midlands, Sir Keir said, "These are challenging times, but we have chosen to come here because we are going to back you to the hilt." He said the visit was a statement of intent, showing the government's support for an industry which has been hit with a 25% tariff by Mr. Trump. The Prime Minister said, "This is a moment for cool heads. Nobody wins from a trade war, you know that. But it's also a moment for urgency, because we've got to rise together as a nation to the great challenge of our age. And it is the great challenge, which is to renew Britain so we're secure in this era of global instability." Sir Keir said this is not a passing phase and was a completely new world, with the economic turbulence following the defence and security instability caused by the war in Ukraine. He added, "Let me be really clear. At a moment like this, our future is in our hands. And so, of course, we will keep calm and fight for the best deal with the US. And we've been discussing that intensely over the last few days. But we are also going to work with our key partners to reduce barriers to trade across the globe, to accelerate trade deals with the rest of the world, and champion the cause of free and open trade right across the globe." BMW Group said it was still looking into the announcements in detail, but said free trade and international cooperation are of immense importance worldwide and are important drivers of growth and progress. They have always been a guiding principle of the BMW Group. The European Union and the US are the world's largest trading partners, which brings with it a great responsibility. The current negotiations should be used to remove long-standing trade barriers and thus strengthen both economic regions. Both sides should quickly find a transatlantic deal that will generate growth. Consumers on both sides of the Atlantic would also benefit from this.
With May comes the joy of Oxfordshire Art Weeks. This wonderful festival offers you the opportunity to meet artists, to talk about their work, and to enjoy a fantastic range of art. This year, they have an amazing lineup of very talented artists in Cumnor Village. They would love you to visit over the festival to be inspired, entertained and delighted. You are welcome to browse and chat with the artists about their work. You may even discover a unique piece of art to take home with you. Entry to all these exhibitions is free, and you can find details about each site on www.artweeks.org, alongside information about the many other artists taking part in the festival. In Archangel Studio, 1 Abingdon Road, in the heart of Cumnor, Sarah Bond creates vibrant, colourful paintings and monoprints inspired by land and sea. Displayed alongside are Annabel Jolly's decorative shell artworks for interiors using sustainable shells, including large three-dimensional mussel pieces likened to murmurations and waves which change reflections from all angles. Open 10 to 11 and 60 to the 18th of May from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. At Lidcott House, 15 Appleton Road, Sally Boardman works in stoneware clay. Cumnor artists exhibiting elsewhere are Valerie Mead and Gordon Stokes at Edith Road Workshops off the Abingdon Road. Valerie creates elegant contemporary designer jewellery in silver and rose gold. Gordon's photographs aim to show the calming beauty of the natural world and include seascapes from the Isles of Scilly, West Cornwall, the Outer Hebrides, as well as Oxfordshire landscapes, open the 3rd to the 5th and the 10th to the 11th of May, 11 to 6 p.m.
A 52-year-old history enthusiast has described the terrifying moment armed police arrested him after mistaking an ornamental display of militaria on his windowsill for live ordnance. The man, who was released without charge hours later, said he had been left shocked by the ordeal, which saw him confronted by gun-toting cops and handcuffed in front of his neighbours. He said Thames Valley Police had apologised for wasting his time, but was now considering making an official complaint. On Monday afternoon, armed officers raided his house in Marlborough Road, South Oxford, after responding to an unrelated incident on the same street that led to the arrests of a woman and a boy on suspicion of blackmail. During the raid next door, police noticed the Second World War memorabilia, which is safe and perfectly legal, in his window and arrested the man, who has asked to remain anonymous because of the shock of the ordeal. The man said he was initially held under the Firearms Act and after several hours in St Aldate's police station was released without charge at around 5 p.m. He said, "I said from the start, I can look inside the grenades. There is nothing inside them. They are trained officers, so how could they not tell? If they just listened to what I was saying, it could have been solved then." After taking him to a local police station, police soon discovered that the weaponry was for decoration. Describing his experience, the man, who lives by himself, said, "They did not even know what they were charging me with when I was there. They were halfway through doing my fingerprints when they said they could release me." The amateur military historian sourced the collection from antique shops around London. The collection, which was legal and was perfectly safe, was worth several hundred pounds. It has still not been returned. The haul included a German stick grenade, a Soviet Union F1 fragmentation grenade, as well as inert bullets for several historic weapons, including a Kalashnikov automatic rifle. Though his mother is quite unhappy about the rest and has suggested he complains, he is more concerned about reclaiming his collection. "Most of all, I want my stuff back," he said. In addition to gain access to his property, the police took his keys, which have also not been returned. He says he's received no information about how to get his possessions back, other than a crime number. He added, "I think they were just doing their job, but I think they could have dealt with it a lot better." He added that the custody sergeant apologised for wasting his time, and they took him home afterwards in a squad car. Nearly a dozen police officers, including several armed officers and a police dog handler, carried out the operation in Marlborough Road. A police spokesman said, "The munitions on further investigation were found to be ornamental hand grenades, which were not live and were not illegal. As such, the man arrested has been released with no further action."
Walkers have raided an easy Oxfordshire trail to be one of the best to enjoy views of parks, the countryside and the city. According to the fitness and travel app All Trails, the 7.1-kilometre Oxford University Parks and Christchurch Meadow Walks takes just under 2 hours to complete. It has also been rated a strong 4.3 out of 5 from more than 90 reviews on the app. Despite being classed as a moderately challenging walk by All Trails, reviews on the site say it is easy as long as you're wearing the right footwear. All Trails says, "Head out on this 7.1-kilometre circular trail around Oxford, generally considered a moderately challenging route. It takes an average of 1 hour and 55 minutes to complete. This is a popular trail for hiking and walking, but you can still enjoy some solitude during quieter times of the day. The best times to visit the trail are January through to October. The trail takes on a variety of green spaces in Oxford, passing through the university parks, New Marston Meadows, farmlands beside the River Charwell and around Christchurch Meadow. The trail also passes a number of historic sites and places for refreshment. There are some rougher sections along this trail where care is needed, especially in wetter conditions when the paths become muddy. Appropriate footwear is advised."
Funding for an initiative aiming to address the soaring use of food banks in West Oxfordshire has been secured. Whitney and West Oxfordshire Food Bank and Citizens Advice West Oxfordshire successfully secured funding from Trussell Trust to continue an initiative that seeks to address the underlying causes of food poverty and low income. The Trussell Trust Financial Inclusion Project helps people by providing them with the tools and resources needed to improve their financial situation, reducing reliance on food banks and ultimately breaking the poverty cycle. Teresa Archer of Citizens Advice West Oxfordshire said, "This funding has made it possible for us to provide dedicated staff that are helping to reduce individual reliance on food banks, which ultimately we are all aiming for. The current economic situation has led to a significantly higher use of food banks, and our aim is to help people manage their income and expenditure in the best way they can and ensure that they are receiving all the income that they are entitled to. We are so pleased that we have funding for another year and thank the Trussell Trust for this ongoing support. Each of the Trussell Trust food banks in Oxfordshire can refer people directly to advice specialists around the county, offering telephone or local appointments to provide information and advice. This includes budgeting, debt management and income maximisation, amongst other things. Since April 2022, some 445 people in West Oxfordshire have been helped by the initiative, resulting in an income gain of some £437,700. This includes nearly £215,000 in debts written off, resulting in many service users no longer returning to Whitney Food Bank. Mick Morris, chair of Whitney and West Oxfordshire Food Bank, said, "This has been a transformative project for many of the people who have received assistance so far. We are very pleased to have received further support from Trussell in year four, as the UK government threatens even more welfare cuts when existing benefits are not enough to live on. We can continue helping people in crisis for another year, and that's very pleasing news." Some 766 issues dealt with in West Oxfordshire under the initiative have involved access to benefits, and a further 264 cases involved universal credit and successfully appealing incorrect decisions by DWP. Another focus of the initiative is reducing the overwhelming burden of debt, enabling individuals to achieve financial stability and peace of mind.
The amount of land being used by South Oxfordshire District Council for nature recovery has increased by almost a fifth since last year. In 2022, the council decided to establish a meadow management approach to selected green spaces and not mow them during the spring and the summer months. Since then, it has gradually added more sites to its meadow areas and extended some existing ones, following recommendations from residents, town and parish councils and council members. Andrew Busby, South Oxfordshire District Council Head of Development and Corporate Landlord, said, "Our staff are working hard to increase the amount of land we devote to nature recovery while also maintaining land for people to use. We have shown that with the right management, we can achieve both." The council chooses locations that are not used for sports or play, do not impact pedestrians or sight lines for drivers, and are near shorter grass areas. There are now 8 Let It Be meadow areas, which are left unmown, and a further 6 wildflower meadow area sites, which are sown with wildflower seeds. Together, these sites cover more than 39,000 square metres of land owned or managed by the council, up from just more than 32,000 square metres last year.
Groups of friends and family can benefit from discounted bus travel across Oxfordshire this month. Oxford Bus Company and Thames Travel are offering a discount on their City Zone and Country Zone group day tickets. This means up to 5 people of any age can travel together on unlimited buses on the network for a day for just £15 throughout April, including the Easter school holiday. This is a £6 saving on the usual price of £21 and includes journeys to Oxford and Reading, as well as towns such as Abingdon, Didcot, Wantage, Wallingford and Whitney. The bus companies hope the discount will encourage more people to use buses for days out and give a boost to the county's economy. Luke Marion, Managing Director of Oxford Bus Company and Thames Travel, said, "This is a tremendous offer that will help families, groups of friends, students and shoppers get out and about via our extensive bus network affordably during April. We've launched it to support people and help groups have affordable days out this spring. Using buses helps us reduce congestion, improve air quality and protect our communities, and I'd encourage people to give the bus a try this month via our special offer. Passengers can cut the cost on their group ticket by entering the code EASTER15 when purchasing tickets via the Oxford Bus app."
Thames Water have been ordered to fix a leak which has left a busy city centre junction underwater for over a fortnight. The flooding of a roundabout in Frideswyde Square needs to be fixed as a priority, a city councillor has warned. Last month, Network Rail bosses hosted a meeting with householders to keep them better informed about the £161 million rail station scheme which closed Botley Road from April 2023. The rail infrastructure company closed the road at the rail bridge as part of the scheme to revamp the station, and the rail minister, Lord Hendy, announced in January it would not reopen until August 2026. The scheme involves creating a new western entrance, replacing the rail bridge, including better access for pedestrians and cyclists, and providing a new platform to boost east-west rail links with the ultimate goal of connecting Oxford and Cambridge. Network Rail has pledged that there will now be a monthly meeting at the King's Centre in Oseney Mead to keep residents informed about progress. One of the concerns raised at the last meeting, which Thames Water managers attended, was the water leak at the roundabout in Frideswyde Square, opposite the Royal Oxford Hotel. Susanna Pressel, City Councillor for Osney and St Thomas, also a county councillor, urged Thames Water to fix the link. She said, "The water has been leaking for about 2 weeks now. Thames Water do know about it and they are on site, so why can't they fix it?" Last week, they said it has something to do with the water pressure as a result of some of the work they are currently doing. It's really disappointing that they are allowing all this precious water to go to waste. We all try to save water, why don't they? One Thames Water sign in Botley Road says, "We're fixing pipes so we can always bring you world-class tap water." The utility company is one of a number working in the road as part of Network Rail's scheme to bring railway improvements. The main constructors are Kier. At the residents' meeting, people were told that foundations for the new rail bridge are now in place and Thames Water is close to concluding its work to lay new water pipes. Ms Pressel said earlier that Frideswyde Square will quite soon be clear of roadworks, with Thames Water work outside the one restaurant going by early May. Pupils at Abingdon School got the chance to take history outside the classroom during a visit from a reenactment group. Members of the English Civil War Society paid a visit to the private school in Park Road to talk about the war and show boys the replicas of costumes and weapons used in 17th century conflict. The school's website said the second year history pupils were treated to an English Civil War living history morning, which ties in with the course they are studying. Who made Britain? Rulers, religion, or rebels? They engaged with the ideological causes behind the war, as well as battle tactics, daily life for soldiers, and some riveting displays from the reenactors. Much fun was had by all. Abingdon School moved to its Park Road site in 1870 and was founded hundreds of years before that. Its origins date back beyond 1256. The visit from the Society took place earlier this month.
Former Oxford United defender Andy Wing has been nominated for the Sky Bet League Two Manager of the Month award in just his second full month in charge. Wing left his role at Vanarama National League side Solihull Moors for Barrow AFC in League Two on January the 20th. In just his second full month as a head coach in the Football League, Wing has been nominated for the March Manager of the Month award in League Two. The Bluebirds, 15th in League Two, won 2-1 at Notts County and 2-0 at home against Accrington Stanley, followed by successive 2-2 draws at Morecambe and AFC Wimbledon, and then a 1-0 victory at Port Vale and a 1-0 loss at home against Chesterfield.
Social media's influence on the Southport riots has not been acted upon by the government, Oxford East MP Annalisa Dodds has warned. Nationwide disorder broke out last summer after three young girls were killed in a knife attack at a Taylor Swift-themed dance class. The Labour MP and former minister said, "There are many other canaries choking down the coal mine," as she spoke in a Commons debate for the first time since her resignation. Ms Dodds resigned from her position as International Development Minister earlier this year over the government's decision to cut foreign aid from 0.5% of gross national income to 0.3% in the next 2 years. Speaking from the back benches, she said, "I do deeply regret that I cannot continue to serve in the government that I have campaigned so long for. I wish my successors, Baroness Chapman and Smith, all the very best." The Oxford MP added, "Last summer saw the worst racist riots in our country since the Second World War. None of us can forget those appalling scenes when racist thugs set fire to hotels, knowing that people were inside, and all in the name of three poor, beautiful little girls. May they rest in peace. The policing and criminal justice response was swift, and I commend the government for that. But in this case, and others, the influence of social media has not been fully digested, let alone acted upon. And there are many other canaries choking down the coal mine, not least due to the growth and impact of violent online misogyny. Policy must deal not with how things were 10 years ago, but with the reality of an online world, which is having huge offline consequences, Ms. Dodds told MPs. There were peaceful protests in Oxford last summer on the back of the Southport riots, with hundreds of left-wing protesters deterring fascists from targeting the city. Ms. Dodds also called for structured dialogue between the UK and the European Union on a digital policy to defend democracy. She said, "We must work more closely with others seeking to protect their democracies, from Helsinki to Rio, Tallinn to Ottawa, Chisinau to Berlin." In that vein, paralleling the Prime Minister's push for a UK-EU defence partnership, we surely also need a UK-EU structured dialogue on digital policy and the defence of our democracies. Elsewhere in the debate on the impact of digital platforms on the UK's democracy, Alliance MP Sorcha Eastwood said influencers Andrew Tate and Tristan Tate came after and targeted her online after she criticised ex-owner Elon Musk. A 14-year-old girl saved her doctor father's life after he went into cardiac arrest at home. Dr. Otman El-Tayeb was watching television with his wife Salma Korak and daughter Talyeb El-Tayeb at their home in Barton when he suddenly fell unconscious. Ms. Korak started performing CPR, while Talyeb, a pupil at Cherwell School in Summertown, called 999. The call handler told them to put Dr. El-Tayeb, 65, on the floor to perform CPR on him. Ms. Korak said her husband's heart completely stopped for about 20 minutes. Dr. El-Tayeb works for the Damien Foundation, which fights specifically against leprosy and tuberculosis with projects in Africa and Asia. Ms. Korak said, "We were at home relaxing, watching the TV. My daughter wasn't at school that day because she had a bit of asthma. My husband was just watching the TV with us normally, and then suddenly he snored very loudly. Then we looked at him and he was unconscious and his head was leaning back. I leant over him and there was no response. I then started to do CPR and my daughter called 999 straight away. They told my daughter we needed to put him on the floor, so she put the call on speaker and moved him to the floor. On the floor, she started doing CPR, and the paramedic was telling her what to do on the phone, and she did exactly what they told her. And when she started, we could see he started to breathe and move around. She was doing this until she handed over to the paramedics. The air ambulance came straight away." She added, "It was amazing. They came to me and told me that what my daughter did was amazing and she saved his life. He had totally stopped breathing. They said his heart was stopped for 20 minutes. My daughter laid him on the floor and started to do CPR. Then the paramedics came to do the rest. Dr. El-Tayeb is now recovering in the John Radcliffe Hospital." Ms. Korak added that doctors found that he had Brugada syndrome, which is a rare condition that affects the electrical messages which control your heart rate. This causes an abnormal, very fast heartbeat. Dr. El-Tayeb works as a public health physician. He normally travels around helping people in developing countries. He said, "My daughter was strong and she was telling me to calm down. I told her, 'Your dad is dead.' And she said, 'No, no, he's not dead,' and told me to calm down. And she said, 'I will do this.' She believed that her dad would survive, and that's why she never stopped." Family friend Nazar Youssef, who works with the Sudanese community in Oxford, said, "This was amazing. He told me that he was a few seconds between life and death. His daughter was a lifesaver. His heart had stopped completely." People living with dementia and those caring for people with the condition will come together to socialise and receive expert advice. Charlton Lodge Care Home, near Wantage, is inviting the local community to a monthly friendship cafe where they can connect with others and speak to the team at Dementia Oxfordshire. From 10:30 to 12:30 on Wednesday morning, April the 9th, and every second Wednesday of the month, the team at the home on the Kingsgrove development will be welcoming the local community into the care home for a cup of tea and a cake. As well as taking part in the Friendship Cafe, guests will be able to tour the home to see what life at Charlton Lodge is like.
The new High Sheriff of Oxfordshire has been sworn in at a ceremony in Oxford. John May, CVO OBEDL, was formally declared as the new High Sheriff of Oxfordshire at the ceremony in the city's historic Old Court of Assizes at County Hall. Taking office for the year 2025-26, Mr. May said he will champion hearing the young unheard, a theme designed to amplify the voices of young people across Oxfordshire who are too often overlooked. Crime prevention and early intervention can transform lives, says Mr. May. By listening to young people, truly listening, we can understand the barriers they face and take action to give them better opportunities. My role as High Sheriff is about more than tradition. It's about using the platform to create real change. Mr. May's year in office will see him working closely with youth organisations, schools, charities, the police, and the judiciary to explore solutions that prevent young people from becoming trapped in cycles of crime. Central to Mr. May's approach is the Big Conversation, a countrywide dialogue that will bring together young people, community leaders and decision makers to explore practical ways to address crime prevention and early intervention. This initiative will be informed by Oxfordshire Uncovered, a landmark publication by the Oxfordshire Community Foundation that highlights key challenges facing the county. The solutions to many of the issues young people face are already in our communities, Mr. May explains. The challenge is ensuring that the right voices are heard and that those in positions of power act on what young people tell us. The big conversation will be about action, not just words. By visiting youth projects, convening discussions, and using his platform to highlight best practices, he hopes to leave a legacy of improved support for young people in Oxfordshire. I want my year to make a difference, he says. If we can change even a few lives for the better, if we can prevent young people from falling through the cracks, then it will have been worth it. Currently serving as the Chief Executive of Cats Protection, Mr. May has held senior positions with UNICEF, Young Enterprise, and Business in the Community throughout his career. He is Deputy Lieutenant of Oxfordshire, Chair of Trustees for Oxfordshire Youth, President of British Scouting Overseas, Vice President of the Marine Society and Sea Cadets, and a National Ambassador for Stonewall, advocating for equality and diversity. John's contributions to society have been recognised with numerous honours, including an OBE for services to young people, and a CVO in the 2025 New Year's Honours. John resides in Weston-on-the-Green near Bicester with his husband Mark and their cat Blenheim.
A leading animal rights charity has launched a campaign calling for Gale's Bakery to drop its surcharge on plant-based milks. The charity claims it unfairly discriminates against customers with dairy intolerances or those trying to make some more ethical choices. Gale's, a chain that is expanding rapidly in Britain, charges 40 pence to 60 pence extra if customers want oat or soya milk in their coffee or tea. The chain has cafes in Little Clarendon Street and Summertown in Oxford, and in Whitney and in Tame. The Tame branch opened last year. With about 1 in 3 people in the UK now drinking plant-based milks, other high street coffee chains tend to offer one, soya, for free, though other dairy-free alternatives such as oat, almond and coconut milk often still come at a cost. PETA has called for Gales to drop its extra charge. Dawn Carr, the charity's vice president of vegan projects, told The Guardian, "Gales is milking customers who care about animals and the planet by offering a discount on reusable cups, but still charges extra for plant milk. Dairy milk is an environmental disaster, cruel to cows and bad for human health. We're calling on Gales to ditch the upcharge and encourage all conscious coffee drinkers to join PETA's campaign." Last month, Sir Paul McCartney wrote to the US chain Pete's Coffee asking it to drop its extra charge for non-dairy milk. Within days, Pete's backed down. The former Beatle, who has been a vegetarian since 1975, wrote at the time, "It recently came to my attention that Pete's has an extra charge for plant-based milks as opposed to cow's milk. I must say this surprised me, as I understand that your company is committed to reducing methane emissions and water waste, yet cow's milk significantly contributes to them. Pret-a-Manger stopped charging extra for plant-based milk such as oat, almond, soya and rice coconut in the UK in 2020, after calls from animal rights advocates. Starbucks also dropped its vegan milk surcharge in the UK in 2022. Leon and Joe and the Juice do not charge extra for any standard dairy-free milk alternatives. Costa Coffee and Cafe Nero do not charge for soya milk, but oat and coconut milk are an additional 45p at both. Campaigners and animal rights advocates have long said these extra costs discriminate against people searching for dairy-free alternatives, with some claiming it amounts to a tax that should instead be applied to dairy because of its cost to the animals and the environment. But critics say that almond milk also uses large quantities of water in its production.
More than 100 donated Easter eggs and chocolates will be handed out to children in and around Banbury. The treats were given to Let's Play Project, a charity helping children and young people with additional needs by House Builder by Orbit Homes. Donated by Orbit Homes staff, they will be given to children during the charity's sessions around Easter. Tim Harrison, construction director at Orbit Homes, said, "At Orbit Homes, we're committed to making a positive impact in the local communities in which we build. Our team wanted to do something special to spread the Easter excitement in the area. We hope that our donation of treats will make the fun activities provided by the Let's Play Project even sweeter this Easter." The Let's Play Project runs a range of clubs for children aged 5 to 25 with additional needs, including after-school clubs, youth groups, and holiday clubs. It offers 2 youth group sessions, one on Thursday evenings for 11 to 16 year olds and the other on Friday evenings for 16 to 25 year olds, offering participants the chance to socialise and learn new skills. Libby Gardner, senior coordinator at Let's Play Project, said, "We're grateful for this donation from Orbit Homes. We've no doubt the children will all enjoy them."
The writer Simon Mason has written many books for adults and children, including recently the acclaimed crime series set in Oxford, A Killing in November, The Broken Afternoon, and so on, featuring a mismatched pair of detective inspectors, Ryan and Ray Wilkins, no relation, and more recently still, the series of missing person novels, The Finder Mysteries. In a talk to be given on Friday the 2nd of May at 7 o'clock in the Dean Court Community Centre, Pinnocksway, Botley, Simon will say why Oxford is a perfect place for crime. why a polite and mild-mannered person such as himself was drawn to create the spectacularly gobby Ryan Wilkins, and while the emotional heart of the crime novels is actually a well-behaved three-year-old boy. He will describe his writing, his inspiration and his methods, his role models and routines, and will talk candidly about both his failures and his successes. He will also draw on his experience as a publisher over a period of nearly 40 years, working with great authors such as Philip Pullman and helping to set up the independent Oxford children's publisher David Fickling Books, where he was managing director for 6 years. You can book for the talk via Eventbrite. It's called A Crime Writer in Oxford, and there is a suggested donation of £5.
Thames Valley Police will receive £6 million in funding to recruit an additional 68 officers. It comes as the Home Office has confirmed plans for an increase to neighbourhood policing for 2025-26. Police and Crime Commissioner for Thames Valley, Matthew Barber, said, "Having already more than doubled the number of neighbourhood police officers in Thames Valley, I am delighted that my bid for additional funding has been successful. This means that Thames Valley Police can now recruit an extra 68 neighbourhood police officers over the coming year. Neighbourhood policing is the keystone of my police and crime plan, and once these officers hit the streets, there will be more than 2.5 times as many neighbourhood police officers as when I launched my crime fighter strategy back in 2023. Mr. Barber said neighbourhood crime and antisocial behaviour shouldn't be tolerated, as they have a significant impact on communities, leaving people feeling unsafe. He added, "The increasing number of officers in both neighbourhood policing and in other vital roles is having an impact. Crime is falling across Thames Valley. The police are making more arrests and more crimes are being solved. Expanding the recruitment of neighbourhood police officers is crucial to delivering our priorities to protect communities and improve trust and confidence in policing."
Football news. Siriki Dembele has been praised for putting in the hard yards with his reward back-to-back winners in home games for Oxford United. The 28-year-old attacker scored the only goal of the game against Watford prior to the March international break and repeated the trick against Sheffield United. A long throw-in from Will Vaux wasn't dealt with by the Blades, allowing the ball to drop for Dembele, who kept his composure to finish from inside the 6-yard box. U's head coach Gary Rowett said, "He's been excellent, Dembs. He's one of those players, I think, that at the start of me coming in, Tyler Goodram had that shirt, but I know what Dembs is capable of. He's got so much talent, and I think what he's done is put real hard work and some real energy into that. He's played very diligently for the team, but he's got the quality at the other end, and that's invaluable to us. We're going to need everyone like that to put a shift in and sometimes do things they don't naturally want to do. But that's how you win games. I'm pleased for him because he has got that danger about him. And I'm pleased he's won us the last 2 home games." Oxford City shared 4 goals in an entertaining second half at Southport in Vanarama National League North. The opening 45 minutes were light on action, with Josh Parker's snapshot easily saved by Chris Renshaw. The second period was much better, though, as the Hoops took the lead 10 minutes after the restart. Neat link-up play down the left-hand side resulted in Josh Ashby crossing to the back post, where Jalen Jones finished from close range. City should have doubled their lead when Zach McEachran capitalised on a loose pass. However, his shot was well held by Renshaw. The hosts then immediately found a leverer at the other end as a Laurie Walker clearance landed at the feet of Danny Lloyd, who kept his composure to prod in with an hour on the clock. 10 minutes later, the sand grounders nudged in front after again countering from a McEachran miss when through on goal. And Real Russ squeezed the ball home after Sonny Hilton wriggled through the box. The Hoops battled back, though, and equalised with 13 minutes to go when a long throw-in from Aaron Drew wasn't dealt with, allowing substitute Jaden Carbon to curl home inside a crowded penalty area with his first touch of the match. Either side could have then won the encounter in an end-to-end finale to the game, with Walker at his best in stoppage time to parry a stinging Sam Minahan strike over his crossbar.
An outdoor pool in Oxford has reopened for the 2025 summer season. Hinksey Heated Outdoor Pool has been a beloved seasonal feature of the South Oxford Park since it opened nearly 90 years ago. This year, it opened on Saturday, April the 5th, to be run for the second time by operators More Leisure on behalf of Oxford City Council. It has opened in time for warmer weather, with forecasts of a high of 21 degrees centigrade on Friday. The City Council agreed that ticket prices for all swimming facilities would go up by 5% this year, from £5.70 to £6 for an adult casual swimmer, and from £14.90 to £15.75 for a family swim ticket. For juniors and concessions, swims are £3.85 per session, and bonus swims and teenage swim schemes offer cheaper sessions during specific times. The season tickets, set separately by More Leisure, are £245 for an adult and £490 for a family, two adults and two children, which allows unlimited swimming in booked sessions for the six-month-long season. Elsewhere in the city, a new indoor children's play area opened on the same day. Active Zone at Lees, Popples and Leisure Centre in Blackbird Lees has a range of shiny new spaces for kids to enjoy.
Chowbell District Council has relocated to Castle Quay in Banbury. The former BHS and Gap shop units at Castle Quay have been converted to become the council's new home. Its new address is 39 Castle Quay, Banbury, OX16 5FD. The council started to explore options for a relocation in the summer of 2023 and agreed to the move in November 2023. A report presented to the executive in the same year showed the move would allow the council to establish new headquarters in a smaller, more modern and energy-efficient space. It was claimed the move would support the council's wider ambition to regenerate the town centre and would increase footfall to local businesses. Councillor David Hingley, the leader, said, "Our new headquarters has been carefully designed to meet the future needs of a modern, forward-thinking council, with running costs and environmental impact greatly reduced as a result. The new HQ includes customer services for residents and a council chamber for public meetings. The customer service team will continue to operate on an appointment-only system for residents who need in-person support. People are encouraged to make an appointment in advance to ensure that the right member of staff is available for their specific inquiry. People without an appointment may be directed to the self-service phones or computers to manage their inquiry."
A young Oxfordshire chef recently won gold at one of the world's most prestigious chef competitions in the world. Lucas King of the Olive Tree Pub Company works at the Plough in North Street, Bicester. The 21-year-old competed at the International Salon Culinaire within the hotel, restaurant and catering show held at the XL London on Tuesday, March the 18th. Going up against some of the country's best chefs in the junior restaurant starter plates section, he brought home an impressive gold for his efforts. Mr. King has been part of the Olive Tree Group for 18 months. He has gone from strength to strength in the kitchen and is one of our future stars to watch, said Aaron Hodges, who was one of the five locals who took over the Plough when it was doomed to close in January 2024. The International Salon Culinaire is described as one of the most prestigious chef competitions in the world. For more than a century, the competitions have been a platform for chefs of all levels, from aspiring young chefs in training to experienced professionals who have already established themselves in their culinary careers.
Business owners in Cherwell have been invited to take part in workshops to improve their understanding of sustainable practices. Cherwell District Council is taking steps to tackle the quarter of the district's carbon dioxide equivalent emissions that come from commerce and from industry. The workshops will provide businesses with practical insights, actionable strategies, and opportunities for collaboration. Businesses can register their interest in the workshops by completing a form online. The council is also considering running workshops which will aim to gather knowledge from local business owners, helping it to understand barriers to becoming greener. It said this will allow it to address these challenges, which may be financial constraints or a lack of information or practical difficulties, by identifying the types of support needed, whether funding, technical advice or access to greener infrastructure. The council aims to empower businesses to contribute to the district's sustainability goals. The insights gathered will allow the council to offer more tailored support, such as grants, educational resources and policy changes. As well as the workshops, the council is offering free places on a variety of green skills construction courses. In partnership with Abingdon and Whitney College, these courses cater to both local businesses and residents, covering domestic retrofit and renewable technologies.
The post office has said it plans to offload its last remaining directly owned branches, including in Oxford, putting around 1,000 workers at risk. It confirmed that 108 Crown branches, including the one in St Aldate's, which are currently directly owned and run by the company, will be handed over to franchisees by the autumn. The process could see the sites taken over by large franchising businesses or postmasters themselves. It is understood the post office expects the majority of these branches to continue running at their current sites, but that some of these could face closure as franchises are moved to different premises, affecting staff. The post office stressed that communities affected will continue to be able to access post office services either at or near to the same location. The move is part of efforts by the post office to generate cash to help it increase pay for postmasters. It comes after the organisation, which has undergone a significant overhaul since the impact of the Horizon IT scandal, when hundreds of sub-postmasters were wrongfully convicted, announced a review of the branches late last year. Around 1,000 workers are employed across the branches. A petition was set up by Councillor Susanna Presell last year to save the St Aldate's branch and got 1,895 signatures. The post office said the plan, which is subject to government funding, will help it to increase postmaster remuneration by an extra £250 million a year by 2030. Post office chairman Nigel Railton said, "Moving to a fully franchised network is one part of enabling the post office to deliver a new deal for postmasters, helping to create a long-term sustainable future for the post office. By franchising these branches, we are protecting access to our services for communities right across the UK and realising £40 million worth of savings that will enable us to uplift postmasters' remuneration by up to 10%. The post office said the plan was launched by its board following consultation with unions and reviewing options with its postmaster consultative council. The organisation stressed it is committed to meeting the current requirement to have a minimum of 11,500 branches across the UK. Dave Ward, General Secretary of the CWU, the Communication Workers Union, said, "The post offices claim that these community services will be maintained by their failed franchising model is laughable to anyone who has seen their local post office services reduced to the back of a shop. The sell-off of WH Smith last week shows just how fragile and ill thought out this model is. This is the full privatisation of the post office via the back door."
Plans for a new village in West Oxfordshire, including 350 homes, have been branded by locals as disgraceful. Developer Harper Crewe Bloombridge wants to build the village, which includes land for community use and public open space, on land at Kilkenny Farm, Bryce Norton, near Witney. The Burford Road scheme is the first phase of what could end up being a new town consisting of 6,700 homes. In 2012, a proposal for 1,000 homes in the same location was refused by West Oxfordshire District Council, so it was not included in the latest local plan. Therefore, it is known as a speculative application. Bryce Norton Parish Council held a consultation on the plans on March 21st. After the meeting, the Parish Council said this development will have a negative impact on the already strained NHS services, including doctors and dentists in Carterton. Broadshire's Health Centre, the closest to the new development, is already at full capacity and will need to receive significant funds to be able to expand its facility to take on additional patients. 20 people have already submitted objections. Michael Brennan, who lives in Foxcroft Drive in Carterton, said, "This application, although well designed, requires further updating to include serious work on upgrading the Burford Road. This road is already in appalling condition and totally unsuited to an increase in traffic. However, the biggest problem with the application is the potential size of the other proposed developments, totalling up to 6,500 houses and employment sites and so on. The idea of concentrating such development around a parish consisting of a linear village named in the Doomsday Book is disgraceful." Marilyn Faulkner of Honeyham Close, Bryce Norton, added, "There will be a huge increase in traffic. 350 houses could mean over 700 extra cars on already busy roads, increasing flood risk to an area already prone to flooding is another problem." Kirsty Miles of Parker Close Carterton said, "This will totally ruin why most people live here. We have a lovely picturesque walk, we have scenery, we have nature. This will ruin all of that. It will be yet another field taken up by houses and more roads made too busy to get to where we need to." In the developer's planning statement, it said, "Land at Kilkenny Farm is proposed as the first of two new villages on the northwest side of Bryce Norton and north side of Carterton. Our vision for land at Kilkenny Farm is to create a sustainable new community interconnected via pedestrian, cycle and public transport links to Carterton and the wider area, set among generous landscaping and networks of open space for biodiversity and recreational opportunities."
Calls have been made for a secretive traffic advisory group to be more open and transparent and to welcome more road users. Bicester Traffic Advisory Group, BTAG, is a town council working group to address and review issues in the town. County councillors Donna Ford and Les Sibley sit on the group, and County Councillor Michael Wayne is the chairman. Last Thursday, the extension of 20-mile-an-hour speed limits across Bicester were approved by Councillor Andrew Gant, Cabinet Member for Transport Management, at an Oxfordshire County Council meeting. At the decision meeting, Councillor Ford withdrew her previous support for the group. Councillor Sibley and Councillor Wayne called for the scheme to be deferred. Bicester Bike Users Group said it commends councillors who have supported the 20-mile-an-hour proposals openly, as it is a divisive issue, but it has concerns about the actions of BTAG. A spokesperson for Bicester Bike Users Group said, "We have some concern that some councillors appear to have privately supported the proposals while publicly speaking out in opposition. In particular, we are hugely concerned about the actions of the Bicester Traffic Advisory Group, a secretive unofficial body made up of select councillors and Bicester Village, but which excludes the public, the press and representatives of other road users. It seems that this group privately asked the County Council to propose 20-mile-an-hour zones outside schools, in estates and outside shops last year, yet some of those same committee members then claimed to be opposed to the measures when it came time for the public decision. Bicester Bike Users Group is calling for a reform of BTAG. We would like to see the BTAG reform its membership and procedures to be transparent and welcome representatives of all road users, including taxi firms, bus companies, and recognise representatives of the disabled, pedestrians and cyclists, as is currently the case in the other Oxfordshire market towns. To start an application process, a 20-mile-an-hour scheme had to be supported by the ward county councillors. Lib Dem district councillor Nick Cotter said, "What people need to understand is this would never even have got off the ground without the support of local county councillors. I do think that it, BTAG, needs to be more open and transparent. Otherwise, the very issue that we've got now on what their stance on it is uncertain. Various groups have sought to join and then been fobbed off." He added that BTAG has been consistent throughout in supporting the 20-mile-an-hour plans. Councillor Ford, who sits on BTAG as a town councillor, said her support has always been based on the support of the public.
A construction company has shared details of the most successful trading period in its 133-year history. Family-owned firm Beard revealed the turnover rose by 10% in 2024, approaching the £200 million mark. The company turned over £198 million in the full year to December, with pre-tax profits reaching £5.2 million. The strong performance was underpinned by the completion of 43 projects from its offices in Cumnor, Bristol, Guildford, Southampton and Swindon. It was also a successful year for Beard's newest office in Southampton, which opened in January 2024 and achieved its targets by turning over £4.8 million. Fraser Johns, the firm's finance director, said, "Having laid the foundations in 2023, we worked hard to continue this momentum into 2024 and are pleased to once again report strong results. We've delivered projects for our customers across all our specialist sectors, including education, leisure and commercial. It was also an outstanding year for our special projects teams." Mr. Johns said a continued focus on the basics of building construction had been a key driver of the company's success. He added, "We start 2025 with a healthy pipeline of work supporting our ambitions for furthering business improvement and growth." Beard said it has continued to focus on investing in people with new and improved training programs developed and delivered. This included Empower Her, a bespoke training course to support women in construction. The company also formalised its approach to supporting communities, with social value coordinators appointed in each region to support the firm's charitable, developmental and sustainability ambitions. with matching funding from the Beard Charitable Foundation, staff raised more than £100,000 for 14 different charities and good causes in 2024. Beard was also among the first cohort to be awarded the Fair Payment Code Bronze Award during 2024, which replaced the Prompt Payment Code in December. Last year, the company started a £14.6 million renovation at Pusey Lane and 19-21 St John's Street for St John's College in Oxford. They started to build a new £12 million care facility for the Phyllis Tuckwell Hospice in Farnham. And they started construction of a £9.7 million African forest for Bristol Zoo. Mr. Johns added, "This wouldn't have been possible without our skilled and supportive supply chain, who help us to deliver prompt and faultless work for our customers and our project partners, who trust us with their visions." A huge thank you must also go to all our Beard colleagues who are dedicated to delivering the very best on every project, as well as continually developing themselves and staying true to Beard's values.
A decision over plans for controversial new solar panels in the West Oxfordshire countryside have been deferred after the plans received more than 40 objections. Applicant Bente Klein wants to have a renewable energy generating station, which includes ground-mounted solar panels and battery storage containers at University Farm in Whitney Road, Hayley. A total of 45 people, as well as Hayley Parish Council, have objected, saying it will spoil the especially rural character of this area. West Oxfordshire District Council's Lowlands Area Planning Committee was set to make a decision this week, with planning officers recommending it be granted permission. However, the crunch decision was postponed, leaving opponents in limbo. In the planning officer's report, it said, "The proposed development would harm the character and appearance of the surrounding landscape, and less than substantial harm to the setting of designated heritage assets. Conversely, the scheme would result in significant economic, social and environmental benefits through the low carbon method of energy generation proposed, resulting in 35 megawatts of renewable energy and offsetting 44,254 tonnes of CO2 per year."
A new hub aimed at addressing the key challenges in developing critical next-generation materials has been launched at the University of Oxford. The Oxford Advanced Materials Research Network, OxAM, was officially launched last week during an event at Corpus Christi College. This interdisciplinary hub will bring together researchers, industry partners and policymakers to tackle the challenges of developing advanced materials. These materials possess novel or enhanced properties compared with traditional ones and are crucial for addressing societal challenges such as achieving net zero, sustainable packaging and combating pollution. The OxAM aims to bridge the gap between lab advances and real-world applications by fostering collaboration and a common language among researchers, industry, society and policymakers. The network unites a diverse range of materials experts from various university departments, including biology, chemistry, earth sciences, engineering, maths, materials and physics. Professor Nicole Grobert from the university's Department of Materials is the lead for the network. She said, "Our vision for the network is that it will function as a dynamic community shaping the next frontier of advanced materials. This is more than interdisciplinary research. It involves establishing a common language to allow the vertical and horizontal transfer of information across academia, industry, policy and society, and creating an environment where each sector understands the needs of the others." The network will also seek close ties with the medical and social sciences, as well as the humanities, to develop safe and sustainable cutting-edge material solutions more rapidly and effectively. Professor Patrick Grant, Pro Vice Chancellor for Research, said, "The University of Oxford is a leader in both materials science and interdisciplinary innovation. The Oxford Advanced Materials Network will accelerate the development and faster uptake of urgently needed advanced materials solutions while supporting academic excellence and training the next generation of materials researchers. The network will focus on integrating multiple disciplines and methods, including advanced experimental research, high-speed computing, modelling, and real-world industry collaborations."
The rooftop restaurant at Oxford's Ashmolean Museum has been named as one of the 50 best museum cafes in the country. The restaurant featured in the list compiled in The Guardian at the weekend. The list was broken down into different regions, with the Bowman Street Attractions rooftop cafe featuring in the southeast section. Reviewer Jess Cartner-Morley said the restaurant was best for a fancy sightseeing pit stop or a special occasion. She wrote, "The dreaming spires of Oxford make an even prettier view when admired from an alfresco table on the rooftop of the city's Ashmolean Museum, with a pot of tea and a traditional three-tiered afternoon spread of sandwiches, scones and cake, £29.50. The Ashmolean has plenty of treasures and curiosities, from Canaletto's and Raphael's to Oliver Cromwell's death mask and Guy Fawkes's lantern. But the rooftop restaurant is a destination in its own right, with a sweeping bird's eye view from a sheltered covered terrace edged with herb and flower-filled planters." She added, "An internal space is walled with glass should the dreaming spires be a little drizzly for comfort. Tea is impeccably traditional with clotted cream and tiptree jam accompanying the sultana scones."
Abingdon Cinema is preparing to return to its permanent venue after it was forced to find a temporary home due to roof repairs. Abbey Cinema at Abbey Hall needed to close last year after unsafe concrete and asbestos was found in the roof, and it was given a temporary new home by the Town Council. Following the discoveries in the roof, the Town Council said the cinema could operate from the neighbouring Old Magistrates Court in the adjoining Guildhall on a temporary basis. Now that repairs to the roof have been completed and the cinema is ready to move back into Abbey Hall, the Town Council said in a statement, "The Council is pleased to announce that following the successful completion of the RARC, which is Reinforced Autoclaved Aerated Concrete, mediation works at the Abbey Hall, the Abbey Cinema will soon return to its original location. The cost of the work has been in excess of £250,000. It added, "The Town Council extends its gratitude to the Abbey Cinema for its cooperation throughout this process and to the community for its continued support while the cinema has been operating from its temporary home in the Old Magistrates Court. The council expects to hand the hall back to the cinema on Tuesday, with the film starting to be shown there again from April the 11th. Following the announcement, Abingdon North County Councillor Nathan Lee said, "Brilliant. Well done to Abingdon Town Council and everyone involved." When the problems with the roof were discovered, the Town Council estimated the total cost of repairs could amount to £2.5 million, more than the Town Council could afford. At the time, it said, since the discovery of RARC roofing panels in Abbey Hall 2 months ago, officers with the support of councillors have been working intensively to seek to resolve both the problem and the best future for Abbey Hall. The Town Council is pleased to confirm the asbestos contamination issue at Abbey Hall has been professionally addressed. The underside of the roof has been sealed to prevent further contamination. They added, the cost of the measures so far has been £180,000, and the council has been advised that the cost of a full renovation of Abbey Hall would have been £2.5 million, which is beyond the council's financial resources. The council has been seeking technical, financial and legal advice on the issue. Abingdon did not have a cinema for many years until Ian and Sue Wiper opened the Abbey Cinema at the Guildhall in 2018. For a short time before moving to Abbey Hall, the cinema group showed films at the Unicorn Theatre in the town's historic Abbey buildings. The actor and presenter Larry Lamb has visited a pub in Wallingford to present a pub garden weather forecast. The actor and presenter visited the boathouse to front Green King's new campaign, The Sipping Forecast. As part of the campaign, Mr. Lamb filmed a preview of the pub-friendly weather report, which saw him battle wind and rain while broadcasting. He will return in April to deliver live broadcasts, paying close attention to rainfall, as Green King pubs have pledged to buy the biggest round in the country when they detect April showers. The first drops of rain between the beginning of April and the 10th would have activated up to 100,000 free pints for pub goers. The campaign came as the Green King pub's research found nearly a third of Brits dash inside from the beer garden at the first sign of bad weather. Mr. Lamb said, the pub garden is like a sanctuary away from the chaos of every day. It's somewhere to sit, to chat, to meet others and to simply enjoy being outside. In spring, it can be really fabulous as the crocuses and daffodils start blooming and people start to dust off their jazzy summer wardrobe, only for the rain to come down and remind us that it's only spring. Being back in the pub has been magic, and I'm relishing the role of helping others and in navigating the unpredictable spring weather to still enjoy a pint in a pub garden. Broadcasting at the pub boathouse was great. I sat by the River Thames and broadcast what I saw, from the comings and goings in the pub to the changeable weather. Zoe Bowley, Managing Director at Green King Pubs, added, pub gardens have always been the heart of British social life, places where friends gather, stories are shared, and good times flow as freely as the pints. Good times are almost guaranteed, if only the unpredictable weather didn't add a plot twist, turning a simple jacket decision into a classic British dilemma. We can't guarantee the weather, but with our when it rains we pour promise, we're encouraging people to embrace those April showers and make the most of every moment. Rain detectors have been installed in Green King pubs across the UK, in London, Glasgow, Birmingham, Leeds, Bristol and Wallingford. Pub goers are urged to keep an eye on Green King Pub's Instagram, which will announce the first detection of rain. They will then have 48 hours to head to their nearest participating Green King Pub and say, it's raining, please pour me a free pint, to claim their free pint this April.
Notice to listeners of OxTalk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to OxTalk using Alexa. To listen to OxTalk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper. Then, to listen to OxTalk, please follow this procedure.
Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to Ox Talk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact OxTalk and we will try to help. That was the last of our articles for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about OxTalk, you can telephone Margaret on 07496 062280. That's 07496 062280. Please remember to leave your name and a contact number with your message. Alternatively, you can send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and those from previous weeks are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either listen directly or download the audio file. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with more news, so until then, we hope you have a good week.